Time for Discipline, But Will It Happen? By Reverend Clay Spronk. The question concerns the heresy of the federal vision. It is no longer a new heresy. It has been allowed to fester within Presbyterian and Reformed denominations for a shamefully long time. Scandalous is the failure of Presbyterian and Reformed denominations to remove this pestiferous error by disciplining its proponents in their midst. It is time, past time, for discipline. Will it happen? All eyes are focused on the Presbyterian Church in America, where there are at least two live cases in which charges have been brought against advocates of the Federal Vision heresy. Will discipline happen? We hope, we pray it will, but we are apprehensive. We do not wish to look down our noses at other denominations as they deal with this deadly heresy. In fact, in this article and in all of our writings, we strive to encourage those who share with us the heritage of the Reformation to stand strong and to take firm action by disciplining and, if necessary, excommunicating those who spread this toxic error. But we take the wait-and-see approach. Our apprehension is based on the fact that Presbyterian and Reformed denominations, seminaries, and theologians have written documents condemning the error of the federal vision, but have yet to exercise discipline to the degree of actually deposing or excommunicating any of its proponents. Perhaps this is true because some of the heretics felt the heat and left their respective denominations without allowing the disciplinary process to run its course. For example, Steve Wilkins was facing charges in the PCA when he fled to another denomination. Yet, the PCA and other denominations are not without fault in this matter, for they should have implemented discipline long before some of these men made their getaway. Our apprehension is also due to the repeated occurrence of Federal Vision men being exonerated when charged with their sin. Instead of being condemned, they are declared orthodox. They are given a clean bill of health, so we wait and see. What we see in the PCA in particular, where the cases are ongoing, is not very encouraging. At least three presbyteries, similar to our classes, have handled cases. The Louisiana Presbytery dealt with Steve Wilkins, despite the fact that Wilkins corrupted the doctrine of election and denied the perseverance of the saints. The Louisiana Presbytery declared that Wilkins' views were consistent with the Westminster standards. A committee of the PCA's broader assembly was dealing with this case, and it is possible that Wilkins would have ended up being convicted of heresy. Nevertheless, this case came to a close when Wilkins left the PCA, and we can only wonder if he would have been convicted. The last official word said about Wilkins in the PCA is that he was orthodox. Things are much the same in the current cases. The Pacific Northwest Presbytery studied the views of Peter Leithart, another public proponent of the federal vision. Leithart is an ordained minister in the PCA, though he primarily works in the Confederation of Reformed Evangelical Churches, which has become a haven for proponents of the federal vision. In October of 2008, the Presbytery adopted a majority report that determined that, although Leithart is not always as clear or careful in his teachings as they would wish, his teachings cannot be declared to be heretical. The Presbytery rejected a minority report that recommended first that Leithart's view be declared out of accord with the fundamentals of the system of doctrine taught in the Westminster Standards, and, second, that Leithart be directed to reconsider his views with the understanding that if his views continue to be out of accord with the fundamentals of the system of doctrine taught in the Westminster Standards, Presbytery will proceed to depose him from its ministry without censure. The decision to uphold Leithart's orthodoxy was appealed in April of this year. The appeal was rejected. In effect, Leithart was twice been officially exonerated in the PCA. This case is being appealed to the PCA's General Assembly. The second ongoing case is taking place in the Siouxlands Presbytery. The Siouxlands Presbytery appointed a committee to study the views of Pastor Greg Lawrence. On September 28 of this year, the committee reported to Presbytery with a recommendation passed by a 4-2 margin that Presbytery Siouxlands finds a strong presumption of guilt that T.E. Lawrence was teaching contrary to the standards. The committee's recommendation was rejected. Instead, the Presbytery adopted the motion of Pastor Joshua Moon to declare his teachings to be in accord with the Westminster standards. Although Lawrence's views are not as public as those of Wilkins and Leithart, it is clear from Moon's presentation of his views, which Moon defends, that Lawrence is a proponent of the federal vision and worthy of censure. The pertinent statement by Moon is as follows. Quote, "In attributing to all the baptized some form of union, adoption, new life, and forgiveness, teaching Elder Lawrence is speaking the language of our tradition and of our scriptures. By refusing to attribute absolute and final union, adoption, new life, and forgiveness, T.E. Lawrence is directly in line with our standards." Unquote. This is a clear assertion of both universal and resistible grace, both of which are clearly rejected by all the Reformed standards. Despite these heretical views, Lawrence, and Moon by implication, was officially exonerated by the Presbytery by a vote of 24-13. The status of this case is unclear, because it was reported on October 20, 2009, that the Presbytery met again and repented of its hasty actions. Apparently the case is being reconsidered and will be dealt with again in January. Reverend Wesley White, pastor of the PCA congregation in Spearfish, South Dakota, has valiantly pursued this case, and if necessary, it is very likely that he and others will see to it that it is brought to the General Assembly of the PCA. So the PCA's General Assembly, its broadest assembly, will likely consider two cases of men who are clearly transmitters of the federal vision contagion. All eyes are on the PCA. If necessary, will these two men be deposed and excommunicated? We are apprehensive, but we hope and pray that discipline will be exercised. It is way past time this step is taken. In fact, things have developed to a point that this will only be a beginning step. It is clear that the PCA in particular, but also other Presbyterian and Reformed denominations, are going to have to do more than simply discipline the most public proponents of the federal vision heresy. There is more work, harder work, to do. The disease has spread. There are many who are tolerant of it and unwilling to administer the strong medicine, discipline, that is necessary to kill it. Much instruction must be given, and yes, more discipline will likely have to be exercised. Will it happen? May God give the strength.